Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 28. Ere the Sun Rises. An explosion echoed dully through the upper levels of the Sun Gate, and Seraphine froze and turned back to stare down the hall. It was littered with Kadra bodies, the normal ones. Not like that thing that had almost beaten Jinx by main strength. Seraphine had seen a lot of weird things during her life. Piltover was a city of wonders, and Zaun a place of hidden majesty. Both had their horrors, too. She had never seen anything like that, and neither had Renata, from the way she had looked at its body. "I'm going back," Seraphine said suddenly, and made to move, only for a hand to close around her arm.
"You're doing no such thing,"
Renata replied coolly. "I'm not letting Jinx fight more of those things alone," Seraphine snapped as she glared back at Renata. "One of them nearly killed her. What if there are more?" Renata shook her head.
"Then there are more,"
she said.
"Their presence and threat do not change our jobs, my dear. If we do not take the primary control, then Piltover will overwhelm us within hours, and this will all have been for nothing, and we will die, irrespective of Piltover's metal freaks."
"You don't need me for this," Seraphine said through her teeth.
"That is not your decision, kitten,"
Renata replied.
"Nor do you know that for certain, but regardless, let us assume you're right, and I do not."
Renata's grip and expression didn't precisely soften, but Seraphine heard the change in her song.
"I will not allow you out of my sight in this place, and you may hate me all you wish for that."
Damn her. Why did she have to sound so sad? Not her voice, but her song. Her tone was even, but her song was plaintive, pleading. This, Seraphine reminded herself, was unfortunately why she had fallen in love with Renata, because the woman, for all of her faults, cared so deeply that it hurt. And hadn't Seraphine promised never to hurt her?
"If we can take the primary control, we can reset the turret blisters and security systems and turn them in our favor. If you truly wish to help Jinx, then help me take this gate,"
Renata said. "Fine," Seraphine nodded. "Let's go." The remaining Glasgari pushed forward, and Renata marched in their midst, her revolver out and at her side, and her chemtech decanter floating menacingly over her shoulder. The Sun Gate still had security, but not much was left after their blitz. Jinx's plan had been sound: strike multiple levels at once, flood them with Zaunites, and kill everything that moved. By the time the Piltovens had rallied, they'd been bled white. Even after the turrets came back online, they didn't have the numbers to push Zaun out of the Sun Gate anymore. Their only hope was to dig in and wait for reinforcements from Piltover itself, and Renata was right. Those reinforcements could not be allowed to enter the gate. Zaun might have had numbers over Piltover in the theoretical, but in the practical, they had no means of tapping those numbers for this battle. All they had was what they went in with, and that would have to be enough. Gunshot reports from carbines and the occasional crack of Renata's revolver put down the meager resistance that still remained on their way to the control hub until they finally reached the reinforced door. "How are we getting through this?" Seraphine asked as Renata elbowed her way to the front and put a hand on the doorway.
"We're not,"
she said after a moment, then turned to Seraphine and gave a razor-thin smile.
"They're going to let us in."
Before Seraphine could question her, Renata holstered her revolver, raised her chemtech arm, and pressed her clawed fingers into the seam between the doors. Mechanical muscles bulged and chemicals catalyzed as Renata grit her teeth, braced herself, and pushed. Metal groaned as she tore slowly through the door, cracking it open until, finally, there was a finger width of space. Moments later, shouts and gunshots sounded from within, the latter pinging off of the door as the Piltovens within tried to keep their attackers at bay with small arms fire. Renata moved to the side, out of the path of any stray shots, and said,
"I adore this arm. Now, time for a hostile takeover."
The decanter floated forward, and from its sides, flexible tubes extruded and slipped into the gap that Renata had created and was holding open.
"Filter up!"
Seraphine hissed as she fitted her mask while the Glasgari all checked over their own filters. She had seen the effects of this particular chemical and almost pitied the people inside that room.
Guns down, boys and girls,
Renata called out.
Because you work for me now.
A wave of neon pink and purple gas flooded the chamber, and the gunfire tapered off. The shots died down, and once all that was left was silence, Renata said,
Open up, dears, if you please.
And let the door shut. A moment later, the door hissed open, and a wave of that pink smoke billowed out. A guard stood on the other side of the door, glassy-eyed, and Renata patted him on the shoulder as she walked past.
Good dog,
she said thinly, then stepped back, pulled out her revolver, and shot him in the head before turning to the wardsman and said,
Kill all but the one in the chair.
Seraphine closed her eyes and turned away. For some reason, having them all die in drunken silence was worse than the screaming. Gunshots echoed around the closed chamber as the Glasgardi went about their bloody work, and Seraphine's stomach turned at how satisfied some of them seemed with it. Their songs were violent things, a cacophony of anger and hatred. And there wasn't that much difference between most of the Glasgardi wardsmen and the Piltovens they were killing, not to Seraphine anyway. In the end, killing all sounded the same to her. Within a few moments, the chemical cloud had faded, its potency lost, and the primary control chamber was in Zonite hands. And everyone was dead except the controller, who was in a seat, terrified and being held at gunpoint.
Good morning, Master Tillinger. My name is Renata Glask, and I have a mutually beneficial business proposition for you,
Renata said as she approached him. Whatever you want. I will not give it to you, he stammered. I will not betray Piltover. Renata brought her revolver up, thumbed back the hammer, and let the man stare down the barrel.
Betrayal is such an emotional concept,
she said.
I think it's more as a disruption of the market.
He was sweating, but to Seraphine's surprise, despite the man's soft exterior, he was no coward. He held his ground, his song wavering but otherwise remaining steady as he looked down the barrel, then looked up at Renata and said, To the void with you, Glask.
You're sure?
Renata asked. And the man didn't budge. Lowering her gun, Renata chuckled and said,
Color me impressed. I'd compensate that iron spine of yours well, Master Tillinger, but I respect a man with principles.
Please, Mr. Tillinger,
Seraphine said, stepping forward.
The bloodshed can end here.
He scoffed at her and turned away. I'm no traitor, Miss Arctura.
Let the man be, kitten. You're only trampling his pride now,
Renata said calmly as she reached into her pocket and drew out a separate mask. This one had ports on either side, which her decanter fed its mobile tubes into and which Renata secured with a click, before turning back to the man she had called Tillinger, whose eyes had widened. Seraphine heard a note of true terror enter his song.
Well, let's do this the hard way, then,
Renata said as the wardsman on either side of Controller Primary Tillinger grabbed him and pinned him to his seat while Renata fixed the mask to his face.
Nothing personal, you understand, it's just business,
she said as she flicked the feeds on the mask open. Tillinger's eyes rolled back in his skull for a moment, then he went slack as his lungs filled with Renata's chemical narcotic.
Can you hear me, Master Tillinger?
He mumbled, nodding his head drunkenly.
Good. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I just need you to focus a little.
Renata continued.
How does that sound?
Renata turned to Seraphine and said,
Dearest, help him focus, please.
Seraphine sighed, then nodded as she stepped behind Tillinger, put her fingers on his temples, and began to vocalize softly, gently dredging up his conscious mind from the chemical miasma of Renata's decanter.
Let's see Hextech do that,
Renata muttered with an air of supreme satisfaction before saying,
Now, Master Tillinger, you're going to give us a crash course in Sungate control, starting with the security.
Lux tasted smoke and ash as her senses filtered back. She wasn't dead, that was the first thing she knew for sure, which was good. That meant that whatever the Cadre bitch had done, it had caught her in the blast. But Echo gods and aspects, Echo. Lux took stock of herself. She was lying face down on the warm stone of the Sungate span. She tasted blood, and her whole body ached, but it wasn't the worst she'd suffered. She had managed to project a thin, loosened barrier in front of herself and Jinx before the explosion. It must have been enough. A weight was pressing down on her, though, and Lux planted her hands on the ground and pushed herself up, and the weight rolled away with a dull thud as Jinx fell down next to her. Lux's heart nearly stopped. At the last moment, Jinx must have thrown herself over Lux. Her father's coat was scorched through, and her back was a mess of burns. Her hair was nearly as bad. She was sprawled bonelessly on the span, bloodied and nearly broken, and Lux stared at her dumbly for several seconds before a jolt rocked through her and scrabbled over.
Jinx! Jinx! Baby, look at me!
Lux pulled Jinx into her lap gently and pressed her fingers to the lean young woman's neck. A faint, thready pulse met her touch.
You can't do that to me.
Lux whispered as she stroked Jinx's cheek. You're not allowed to die until I say so. Looking up, she surveyed the damage. Arcs of magic sparked across the span of the Sungate with a sound like a spitting snake. Echo was sprawled out further away, and he wasn't moving. Lux couldn't tell if he was alive or dead. His jacket was a scorched mess, though, and he was probably worse off than Jinx since he'd been at the epicenter. Then again, he'd exposed himself to the Z-Drive's energies so many times, who knew? He had to be alive, she decided. He had to be. The Kadra woman, the redhead with a smile like broken glass, was sprawled out a few meters away. What was left of her rapier was another meter further. The blade was gone altogether, and the basket had been melted to slag. Her uniform was likewise scorched, although less so than Jinx would have expected. The faintly glowing lines in it, though, suggested that, like the Kadraman's armor, her uniform had been laced with petrosite. Gods and aspects. How much must Demacia want her dead for them to allow Piltover to experiment so thoroughly with the substance? In a way, it was impressive. No nation in the world distrusted or even outright hated magic as much as Demacia, so it must have taken quite the set of mental gymnastics for them to justify themselves into allowing the Hextech engineers of Piltover to conduct such experiments. The assassination of Tiana Crownguard had probably gone a long way toward helping with that justification. Still, this was her chance. Lux set Jinx gingerly to the side, pushed herself up onto her feet, and hobbled towards the Kadra woman. The air was redolent with mana, and Lux pulled it into her palm, calling up as much power as her focus could hold. Whatever had been done to those Kadra elites that had nearly killed her and all of her Glasgari must have been done to that woman. More so, though. The elite had been dreadnoughts, but they had also been almost mindless. Not this woman, though. Her mind was fully intact, for whatever intact even meant for someone like her, and that made her far and away the most dangerous weapon in Piltover's arsenal. That meant she had to die, if indeed dying really meant anything to whatever she had become. The whole span stank of ozone, even with the high winds, and Lux wrinkled her nose as she approached cautiously. Upon closer inspection, the woman looked dead. Her limbs were pointed in the wrong directions, her eyes were open, glazed, and unseeing, and there was something uncomfortably silent about her. Not just a lack of breathing, but more a lack of the subtle motions of life. Lux couldn't put a finger on it, but it was almost as though she was looking at a doll. A doll that was almost human and all the eerier for failing to close that final gap. Not that it mattered. Lux raised her hand, light burning in her palm, and released a pinpoint, ravening beam into the Kadra abomination's body. Or rather, she tried to. The thing twitched out of the way like a flea, snapping to the side, limbs moving with disjointed alacrity. Lux swore as she gathered her power and fired again and again and again, but you couldn't get a bead on the woman. She twitched, jerked, and at times even scuttled on hands, knees, and feet, before finally jerking upright with her legs and arms pointed asymmetrically and her head hanging limply to the side as if her neck had been broken long ago, and her brain had just never gotten the memo.
"What are you?"
Lux hissed as she brought her hand up. One eye twitched, blinked, then focused. Then the other eye did the same thing, entirely separately. Her head twitched up, and her arms and legs snapped into line with the rest of her at the same time. And that glassy smile opened up like a wound on her face as she snapped to parade attention. "Warrants Officer Rengleam, Spire. Brass Chandra 105, she replied brightly. "And your Luxana Crown Guard, former intelligence officer of the Radiant Council, former Demacian attaché to the former sheriff of Piltover, wanted on charges of terrorism, sedition, conspiracy, high treason, murder, assassination, destruction of official documents, theft of official documents, falsification of official documents, more murder, and jaywalking." "That last one was a technicality," Lux replied flatly. "Do I strike you as someone who gives a shit about technicalities, Miss Crowngard?" Ren asked, still cheerfully smiling, but there was something deeply wrong with her tone. "No," Lux replied, lowering her hand. Her magic was all but useless against this foe. It wasn't that Ren Gleamspire could dodge at the speed of light, it was that Lux couldn't fire at the speed of light. At the end of the day, her spells manifested slower, albeit only marginally so, than a shot fired from a carbine. And whatever she was, she and her elite had aptly demonstrated their ability to dodge bullets. Now, if Lux was going to kill this thing, she was going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. "Go ahead," Ren said as Lux laid her hand on the hilt of her blade. "Draw it." She spread her arms magnanimously. "I want you to die knowing that evil will never triumph, even given the fullness of its power." "Evil?" Lux shook her head and drew her weapon. Light flickered around the blade, wrapping it in a solar edge of mana. "You consider me evil? You stand in the way of progress, and that could be nothing but evil," Ren replied without a hint of self-awareness. Lux had never thought she'd meet someone crazier than herself. The sound of boot heels striking stone approached from Lux's back, and she held up a fist over her shoulder. The remaining wardsmen came to a staggering halt at her silent order as Lux continued to stare Ren down. "By all means, join forces," Ren said. "What is that you filthy scumsuckers say? Come take me one on two?" "Stay back," Lux ordered. "Mum?" The Glasgari sergeant asked a variety of questions with that single word. Lux didn't move, she just said, "This isn't a human being, Sergeant. Pull back, you'll only get in my way."
"How noble,"
Ren simpered. "Just practical, actually," Lux replied as the Glasgari wardsman fell back. "Severed limbs tend to disrupt my stride." Ren shook her head, then raised it to the sky along with her arms, laced her fingers, and cracked her knuckles with an ugly popping sound. And when she lowered her head, she showed a face that was twisted into a mean, pugnacious snarl.
"Pure evil," she spat.
Lux brought her straight sword up on guard. "Better evil than a puppet. Now come and let me cut those strings of yours."
"Not even going to offer me a weapon?" Ren asked innocently. "Do I look stupid?"
"Admittedly, no, but have no fear. For I am truth and justice made manifest." And there was a ripping sound as the sleeve of Ren's blouse was torn to shreds from within by her arm and hand, splitting open like a grotesque flower to rearrange itself around a cruel, curved Sherman toolbar as it extruded from her elbow.
"I am Ren Gleamspire," she hissed past that gash of a smile as her false arm sealed around the implanted weapon that had replaced her right hand. "And I am the righteous blade of progress."
Jinx stirred to the sound of broken bells, to the sound of metal hitting metal. Her tongue felt thick in her mouth as she swept it around her gums and tasted pennies. Nothing loose, though. That was good. Her limbs were shaky and unbalanced, and the world felt gooey, but it was slowly coming together. If only those stupid bells would stop ringing. With an act of will, Jinx forced her eyes open, and she stared across the flat, scorched stone of the span at the sprawled-out form of Echo.
Little man, Jinx mumbled, then said,
"Blondie?" Where was Lux? She was gone, but where? The last thing Jinx remembered was Blondie's shield going up and Jinx's brain screaming to her limbs that it wasn't going to be anything like enough.
and that she needed to move, 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 and then she was moving, throwing herself over Lux just as everything turned black and blue. Swallowing thickly, Jinx reached out and dug her metal fingers into the span as, somewhere ahead of her, bells were ringing. Hand over hand, she dragged herself forward until she reached Echo. He looked bad, real bad. His jacket was all but gone, his back was a scorched mess, more cooked meat than skin, and he wasn't moving. "Damn it, little man," Jinx said through blood-flecked teeth. "You don't get to frickin' die on me!" Jinx crawled over him, reaching into her pocket as she did and pulling out her father's syringe. Her fingers didn't used to shake so much, but lately they were all jitters. Jinx was finally grateful for old Fat Hands ripping her own regular-sized hand off because her prosthetic didn't shake. Thanks to that, she was able to slot the last of the shimmer into the syringe. Jinx braced the syringe with one hand and held Echo's eye open with the other. "Time to take your medicine, little man," Jinx coughed, then hit the plunger and fired the last of the shimmer into Echo. He jerked spasmodically in her arms, gasping and choking as the mutagenic serum coursed into his veins. The last drops of her proof against Janna were gone, but it was worth it. Jinx told herself it was worth it. She'd always looked out for little man, after all. At least for as long as she'd been able to remember. Ever since they were snipes, they'd watched each other's backs, and she wasn't going to let a little thing like a rogue god in her skull keep her from living up to that. Not this time. Those damn bells were still ringing, though. Who the fuck was ringing bells? Jinx looked up, and her heart jammed itself in her throat. In the distance, Lux was dancing. Her blade flashed with rainbows as it rang like a bell against the curved arm, hand. The implanted blade belonging to that red-headed Hextech hack. How Lux was even keeping up with her boggled Jinx's mind. Then Jinx twigged to it. There were lights that flickered and twinkled around Lux's body, distorting her form and making it seem as though she was going one way a split second before she went another. She wasn't just dodging, the Chandra bitch was also missing. The bitch was faster. But Lux was smarter. The problem was that using that much magic for that long meant it couldn't be kept up forever, and she was barely holding the pilty freak at a draw. "Don't move, little man," Jinx said as she forced herself to her feet. "I'll be right back." Jinx sprinted for the dueling pair, snatching up Zapper from where it had been thrown during the blast as she did. Spinning up the capacitors, she took aim and fired a shot, and the bolt of energy had barely left the barrel before the pilty had already moved out of the way like she had eyes in the back of her frickin' head. The bolt of energy flew harmlessly between the pilty and Lux, who used the moments to claim much-needed space away from her attacker. Her blonde hair was matted to her scalp and neck with sweat, and she was pale with exertion. Jinx had never seen Lux so completely close to the brink. Not just that, but on closer inspection, Lux hadn't been avoiding everything. Her shoulders, arms, and chest were peppered with thin, shallow gashes that had cleaved through her armor like it was butter. Blood oozed from the wounds in slow trickles. Even if Lux had been able to keep her from scoring a deciding blow, she was already on a timer. "Hey, Blondie," Jinx rasped as she spun Zapper on her finger. "Who said you could dance without me?" "Jinx, thank the gods," Lux breathed. "No gods here, Blondie, just me." Jinx snapped Zapper up to aim at the pilty. "And who the fuck are you?"
"Ren Gleamspire."
She cut a low bow, bending at her waist like a Progress Day mannequin. When she rose, her face was etched with something between incandescent rage and glee.
"And you're Jinx, which I hear stands for Jinx."
Jinx nodded.
"That's me.
You killed my father," she said conversationally.
"And I killed my father, too," Jinx replied. "Two of them, actually, but the first one didn't stick."
Her lips pulled back in a feral snarl.
"By the way, small world, huh?"
"I'm going to gut you like a cop."
Ren's left arm splintered and tore through her blouse, blooming another blade as she surged forward, ducking under a hip-shot Zapper bolt. Jinx ducked and wove between Ren's attacks, but barely. She'd fought a lot of things that were stronger than her, stuff that could pancake her skull if she let it get a hand on her, but she'd never fought anything that was as fast as her. The problem was that Ren Gleamspire wasn't as fast as her. She was faster. Her throat would have been opened in the first few seconds if Lux hadn't swung in, deflecting one of Ren's arm blades while Jinx bent back at the waist, ducking the other before jerking upright, swinging her metal arm in a pendulous backhand. Two blades flashed in front of her, catching the arm between them before it struck her face, only to stop on the armored plates. Ren's eyes widened fractionally in a show of genuine surprise as her blades, which had carved through everything else, merely ground sparks from Jinx's prosthetic.
Nice, huh?
Jinx snapped her shotgun free, leaving the yawning barrel an inch from Ren's nose. The shot discharged a cone of pellets that sparked arcing beams of Hextech energy between them, blowing Ren back. She screamed like a banshee, shrieking and thrashing as the blast cooked the skin from her face. An instant later, the Arknet died as every pellet hit the ground, sliced neatly in half as Ren came to a skidding halt. Wherever her pale, freckled skin had been burned, matte black subdermals were exposed rather than seared meat or bone. The facade of her right eye had been scorched away, revealing a whirring oculus behind a metal iris that tightened as she focused on Jinx and Lux. Jinx rolled her shotgun back into her arm and patted it as she looked up at Lux.
"Remind me to thank Victor when we get back home," she said with a grin.
Raising her blade in one hand, Lux tightened her other into a fist and projected a dense buckler shield over her left as she said,
"If we get out of this, I'll kiss him full in the mouth."
"Bet."
Jinx grinned as she dove forward with Lux moving in her shadow. Ren let out a feral shriek as she sparked her blades against one another and met their charge. Sturdy Demacian steel sheathed in light and mana deflected one blade while the other scraped deafeningly off of a prosthetic forged by the legendary machine Herald of Zaun. It was horribly telling that even with the pair of them, they were barely a match for the psychotic frenzy of Ren Gleamspire. She moved in a blur, striking thrice where even a Noxian swordmaster would only get a stroke and a half in, and Jinx would know. Together, though, they were able to push Ren back, with Jinx fighting like a Zaunite sump snipe with low lunges, spit in the eyes, and kicks to the knees and groin between cracking off shots with Zapper. Lux fought like a capital S soldier. Light made shield up, body turned to thin the profile, and blade thrusting with clockwork efficiency married to the good gut instinct of a battle-hardened killer of men. They moved in synchronous delight, one in the other's shadow dancing in and out, heating the iron for the other to strike. They were pushing her to the edge. Maybe they couldn't kill her, not outright, but when you're fighting in Zaun, you'll eventually run out of room. Inch by inch, they forced Ren to give ground. Bit by bit, they pushed her. And with every backward step, her expression became more feral and more frantic until finally, she snapped. Normally, that was a good thing. Angry was stupid, stupid was dead. Jinx had made enough people angry in her life to know that was true 99 times out of 100. This time, though, this was number 100. Her blades flashed across her own chest, baring her breasts, but more importantly, baring the gleaming blue gem that was set in between them. That blue gem glowed ferociously for a moment, then flashed a fiery red. Steam fumed from Ren's joints as she was suddenly the one pushing them back. If Ren had thought she was fast before, now she was blinding. They'd gone from solidly handling her to barely surviving. Her blades were glowing cherry red and biting nicks into her arm's armor plating even as they chipped Blondie's shield and notched her blade. Now Ren was laughing hysterically, her eyes wide as steam poured from her sockets.
Die!
Ren screeched as she drove them back.
Die, 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 die!
It was like fighting a blender made of hate.
Jinx!
Lux cried as she turned another three blows away in rapid succession.
Jinx, I'm sorry!
There was nothing else to say. Neither of them was selfish or deluded enough to tell the other to run. Not even Blondie was that crazy. If they died, even if it was to a crazy, pilty bitch with more brass than brains, then they would do it together.
Me too, Blondie.
Jinx spat out.
I'm sorry too.
Die.
Lux's shield exploded into shining fragments and she flew back. And in that instant, Jinx saw every lost moment flash in front of her eyes. Every kiss they hadn't had. Every morning they hadn't woken up to yet. Every night they hadn't fallen asleep together. She saw the tousled little mop of green hair, a smiling, gap-toothed face. And she saw it all reflected on the edge of the blade that was coming for her life. Jinx was so lost in that vision that she didn't hear the deafening howl split the air before a massive lupine form slammed into Ren's side like a freight train of fury and muscle as Warwick hammered Jinx out of the way, sending her sprawling even as he rammed into Ren. Despite his bulk, she barely moved. Shrieking hatefully, she dug in her heels, cracking the ground beneath her as she came to a stop. Jinx scrambled to her up onto her hands and knees, heart pounding and made to move forward, but something caught her eye before she could manage it. Something big, bloody, and covered in gray-blue fur with brassy claws. Toxic blood spilled like a miniature sump fall from the stump of Warwick's severed arm.
"Dad?"
Jinx mumbled dumbly as her eyes struggled to focus on what she was seeing. Warwick's eyes were nearly closing around Ren's skull, held open only because she had her free arm straight into his mouth. Her blade was slicing partway through his upper jaw and snout while her elbow was holding his lower jaw at bay. Ren's other arm and the attached blade were jammed between his ribs, and she was screaming at him wordlessly as she twisted it back and forth like she was trying to bore a hole through his chest. Lux was lying on the ground, sprawled out. She twitched and struggled to rise, but both wounds and mana exhaustion had finally caught up to her.
"Run!"
Warwick snarled wetly around Ren's arm.
"No!"
Jinx stumbled to her feet, then rocked back in a daze as pain seared across her face and jaw starting in her eye.
"No! Not now! Not now!"
Jinx's feet went out from under her, and she fell to her knees, clutching her face as the whole world suddenly went dead silent save for a gently blowing breeze. The pain was gone in an instant, and Jinx lowered her hands to look up at a world gone gray, everything but her and the goddess that was standing less than a meter away. Janna stood in her full glory, pale hair swept up in an invisible gale around elfin ears. Her eyes were like distant clouds, and her white robes fluttered in the breeze. And Jinx stared at her long and hard for all of 2 seconds before spitting on her feet.
"This is your fault," Jinx snarled. "I'd still be strong. If it weren't for you, I'd still be strong."
"Your selfishness knows no bounds, Jinx."
Janna's mouth didn't move, but her voice echoed with all the winds of the world.
"Had you but accepted my gift, you would be 10 times stronger than you are now."
"Fuck you!"
Jinx brought Zapper up and fired it, and the bolt passed harmlessly through Janna.
"Will you die in vain for your blasphemy? Will you let them all die in vain simply to prove a point that will cease to matter in a handful of years?"
"I threw you out of my head once, and I can do it again," Jinx growled. "You're not laying a hand on my dreams."
Janna looked stricken and sighed before saying,
"I admit that my approach prior was flawed. I saw your madness as something to be healed and did not grasp the magnitude of your sacrifice. This I will apologize for, and I understand now why you fight."
Janna drifted closer.
"I know now that I was asking for more of you than I asked of my prior vessel. She had but one life to give, but you... you have endless lives scattered like reflections across a cracked mirror that spans the breadth of reality."
"Glad we're on the same page,"
Jinx said. But Janna only shook her head.
"I understand now that you are not sacrificing one life, but rather an infinite number of lives. And yet I ask you for the sacrifice all the same."
She gestured out to Lux, Echo, and Warwick.
"I can save them. All of them. If you but open yourself to me."
"I threw you out," Jinx snarled. "No take backsies."
"You cannot excise me so easily,"
Janna replied.
"I left behind a splinter because I knew that this day would come, that you, that Zaun, would need my aid. So please, I beg of you, show mercy and humility and let me help."
Jinx had stopped listening at the word splinter. A splinter? So Janna had left one last teeny-tiny fishhook in her flesh. One little prick to give her an in on Jinx's mind when she was weak. Except she was never weak, never. Her father, both of her fathers, had taught her better than that. Turning to Warwick, frozen in his rage, Jinx swallowed thickly as she said,
"Sorry, Dad."
As she ratcheted out her shotgun and swung around the chambers to the normal, black powder shell.
"Jinx? Jinx, stop.
Looking down at Lux, Jinx took in a slow, shuddering breath and said,
"Love you, Blondie. In every single dream."
Jinx!
The goddess's voice fell on deaf ears as Jinx snapped the barrel of the shotgun up, took aim straight up and across her left cheek right over her eye and said,
"Get out of my skull, you windy bitch!"
Jinx fired. And Janna screamed as the blast seared across her cheek and ripped past her eye, obliterating the latter and demolishing the last splinter of Janna's presence as the tiny splinter of mana she had left behind was dispersed into nothingness. An explosion of gale force wind detonated out from Jinx, sweeping away the stink of ozone and knocking Jinx from her feet. Everything was pain. Her vision was scarred nearly white. Her other eye was still functional, mostly, but the whole left side of her face was either cold numbness or searing shit-fucking pain. But she moved. Jinx forced herself to move, spitting gutlow curses in every dialect. Jinx dove for her target, scooped fishbones up in her arms, and came to a skidding halt as she rolled over and took aim at her target.
"I'm gonna tear you apart!"
Ren screamed as she started doing just that. Overpowering the mortally wounded Warwick, her blade that was buried in his chest was almost free, and the moment it was, his head would be gone.
"You're nothing, you hear me? Nothing!"
"Hey, Red!" Jinx bellowed. And Ren flicked her gaze over to Jinx and the giant rocket that was partially vomited out of Fishbone's mouth.
"Say hi to Daddy for me!"
The last thing Jinx thought she saw before she pulled the trigger was Warwick anchoring his claws into Ren, digging in his feet as she struggled to free herself and smiling. Jinx's rocket blew free of Fishbones, sailed across the span, and slammed into Warwick's side, ripping both the Wrath of Zaun and Ren Gleamspire from their feet and out into the chasm, before detonating in a thunderclap of Hextech fury. Slumping down onto her back, Jinx let Fishbones roll away from her as she stared one-eyed up at the sky above. She couldn't hear any more gunshots or screams. That meant one of three things. Either she'd gone deaf, they'd lost, or they'd won. Either way, she'd deal with it when she woke up. The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.